Every time, I don't know why. It's so dumb, the stupid clown. Reality After Show, fans, friends, lovers of Survivor. I'm Matt Bischoff, Alex Trias. Johnny's here just for a brief moment.
Yeah, I did not watch the episode tonight, so I'm just here to give a quick reminder of the next 2 weeks, and then I'm out of here. So no spoilers for me, but I have been informed this was an episode of episodes, so you guys have a lot to talk about. Hopefully me and Wayne will get together on Friday. We'll discuss it on the Reality After Show recap. But real quick, if you guys don't mind, so this is Wednesday, November 16th. Next Wednesday, I'm on the road. So I am heading to the Meadowlands, 7 miles from Times Square, and I will not be alone. I will be joined by Judd Sargent from Guatemala, Survivor Guatemala, a super rare appearance. He's going to be there. Probably hasn't been to a Survivor event in 15 years. Mm-hmm. So excited to see Judd. We got Hoboken Mike, the king of New Jersey. He's going to be joining us. Victoria and War Dog from Edge of Extinction. More rarities. Eliza Orleans, here to save the world. Billy Garcia, who doesn't love Billy Garcia? Papa Bear will not be there. He is advertised here if you're watching. He will not be there. However, I do have at least one super surprise guest. So don't worry. Papa Bear, I have a replacement. He will be missed, but we got somebody to replace Papa Bear. Come out. It's at Bolero Snort Brewery. It's also the debut of my brand new beer. You guys have seen the can. There's a person that is a part of this that doesn't even know it. They will be super surprised next Wednesday night. That's right. Thanksgiving Eve is the biggest bar night of the year. We're going to be at Bolero Snort Brewery in New Jersey, 7 miles from Times Square. Get your tickets right now at SurvivorHomecoming.com. VIP starts at 6 p.m. General admission starts at 7. It's going to be crazy. Special beer release. Trivia all night throughout the episode. I have autographed picks from some of your favorite survivors that will not be at this party. So I got winner picks. I got all kinds of stuff. It's going to be a ton of fun. If you've never been to one of these parties, I can tell you this. Last Wednesday night, me and the Queen were in Durham, North Carolina, Dirty Bull Brewing. And we had Adam Gentry from Cook Islands. That was the surprise. We had Church Boy Keith unadvertised. That was a surprise. We had another surprise. It's so crazy because, like, this isn't possible. But let's do a hypothetical, okay? Mm-hmm. So, hypothetically, the beginning of last week's episode, like, when it was revealed that the idol did not go home in Dwight's crotch.
Yes.
Just imagine if, like, that idol was in Durham. I mean, just hypothetically. Would that be crazy?
That would be crazy.
I mean, hypothetically, that would be exhilarating to see.
Yeah, but it's not possible, right?
No, it's not. Oh, it's not possible.
Okay, once again, super secret surprise guest next week.
It's me.
Oh, yeah, Alex Trias, you're going to be there.
Yeah, I'm replacing a Papa Bear.
You're not replacing Papa Bear. No one can replace you, so how can you replace Papa Bear?
True.
But yes, join us. Alex Trias will be there. So, but join us there. It's going to be crazy. The biggest bar night of the year. So happy to do this. So many friends. It's probably going to end up being. The bacon guy, Adam Pauk, from
Big Brother.
From Big Brother, he's going to be there.
Yeah.
So more and more guests are being added as we speak. So that's next Wednesday night. Join me Thanksgiving Eve. It's Johnny Fairplay and friends, and I got a lot of friends. So go to SurvivorHomecoming.com right now to get your tickets. Do not wait to get VIP because VIP will sell out, I promise you. Okay, so that's not all. If you thought it was, you would be wrong. The following week is my last viewing party of the season. And we're already looking at season 44. The premiere is on March 1st. Sandra and I are scouring the country. So you let us know where you want us to come, because we're going to go somewhere special. And, but to end this season, even though we're not done with the season, this is our last viewing party of the season. Wednesday, November 30th, we're going to be in Charlotte, North Carolina. It's our debut. First time ever in Charlotte. So excited. Dan Montel's going to be there. Tickets available for that event is at SurvivorTix.com. That's SurvivorTix.com. Okay, now don't forget, the other is SurvivorHomecoming.com. This is SurvivorTix.com. And once again, we got the VIP that starts at 6:30, general admission at 7:30. You get a Survivor 43 buff signed by at least one survivor from that season. I'm not even allowed to say. Why would I say that? Yeah. So, but join us Wednesday, November 30th, Lenny Boy Brewing Company. Me and the Queen, Sandra Diaz-Twine. Once again, we're going to be doing trivia throughout the show. It's going to be super fun. We can't wait to see everybody. Last viewing party of this season for me and the Queen, Sandra Diaz-Twine, and just me in general. I'm trying to relax and watch the end of the season. So join us. That's Wednesday, November 30th, Charlotte, North Carolina. Get your tickets at SurvivorTix.com. So with that, I don't want to be spoiled. You guys talk about what I have been told is a crazy episode. Love you both.
Love you.
Love
too.
Everybody. See you soon.
Yep. Cheers, brother.
Cheers, man.
We are episode 9, everybody. And get out of here, Fair Play. Kick him out. Yeah. He's out. We got all of that stuff over with. There is some unexpected stuff tonight for me, which I like. I was like, man, blindsides and a little bit different stuff and not really knowing and
seeing true bitterness come out from being blindsided.
Exactly. It's because everyone's been so nice this season, right? And we're finally starting to see the gloves come off a little bit. I mean, we start off the episode, it's like after Tribal, you got Owen is pissed at James, right? Because Owen did not want Janine to go home. Owen is pissed because James is like telling him what to do, and he kind of trusts him. And they start getting, throughout this whole episode from beginning to end, we see this conflict with Owen and James. And the thing is, I like James. And I started to think at the beginning of the episode that Owen really probably has zero chance in staying in the game based off of kind of his hierarchy in the tribe. Right. But they both don't trust each other. James doesn't trust Owen. Owen doesn't trust James, but James does have a point, Alex. When Owen's all pissed off, like, dude, you told me this, you told me that. And James is like, well, dude, like, this dude wrote my name down twice already.
Well, he's only voted once. That's the first thing. But yeah. It is a point. Like, you have put my name down on parchment. Like, yeah. That, how am I supposed to trust you? And I get that. Mm-hmm. I think the point that he misses, though, is that's not how you say it to your opponent. The person that you know that you, in your head, Owen's the next guy out. Mm-hmm. You know the jury phase has now officially started.
Yep.
And I feel like this episode was like the entire time I kept writing notes about. I'm like, well, James isn't getting jury votes if he gets to the end, because he did seem to have that Godfather complex, like very outwardly. It's just like, no, you needed to do that because it was the right thing, because we told you it was the right thing, type of thing.
And
I was like, ooh, those are very poor choice of words there. But I loved the conflict. I love these two guys are passionate about the game. One is in a very bad spot at the beginning of the episode. One's in a very great spot. And you see the dichotomy of how they both are frustrated at the other. Mm-hmm. I just loved it. It was good television.
I did too. And because this happens, like, I mean, we've seen this like throughout the history of the entire show of Survivor, that there's always been, you know, the Rupert versus the Johnny.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Who voted for
and,
me?
And the Boston Bobs versus the whoever. And like I said, there's been a lot of honest gameplay this season, and people telling about their advantages and not super cutthroat, but I you do see it, and I think there's a lot of cutthroat behavior that is potentially going to emerge, I hope.
Well, it's very interesting. It's very interesting because as much as they are playing honest games, you look at the how people are going out, and it is cutthroat. Like yeah. they have somehow managed to do both, which I find just fascinating. Like, I understand that people are like, oh, they're telling everyone everything. Oh, that's not how Survivor's supposed to be. I get that. But then you see just the brutality of the vote outs. Mm-hmm. And it's like, sure, as a majority on someone, yeah. But that person thought they were in the majority. Like, these are legitimate blindsides happening. It isn't like, oh, I'm on the bottom. Oh, I know I'm going out 8-1, 5-1, 4-1. Mm-hmm. It's interesting.
Yeah, and I like that. I like being, like, not totally positive of who's going home. I like to be surprised as a viewer, just like the person getting voted out is surprised, you know?
Yeah.
And I honestly thought, based off of Cassidy's kind of heartfelt past stuff, and I even looked over at my wife, I'm like, she's like, who do you think's gonna go? I was like, probably Cassidy. Based off of the edit and stuff.
Right, and I noticed that with this season too. This editing is so... It goes against the grain.
Yeah.
Where in recent seasons, when someone later in the season would get this heartfelt like family package, dig deeper into their personal life, oh, they're going home.
Mm-hmm.
And now we've had multiple episodes now where like Owen got the big touching moment, wins immunity. Where like before that immunity challenge, everyone's like, oh, this is Owen's boot episode. Same thing with Cassie here. Cassie's getting that long package, how she's gathering her strength from her deceased sister, her family in general to like keep pushing forward, and everyone in my group chat is firing off like, well, GG's Cassidy, like you played a good one, but you're going tonight.
Yeah, so I want to ask you something, Alex. So we're in this new era of Survivor, you know, after season 40, and I've seen a lot of stuff and a lot of criticism that said Jeff Probst is who is the problem of Survivor. They're like saying Jeff, if he would stick to being a more cutthroat host instead of trying to make every single moment a heartfelt moment, like look at them helping Noelle with her leg that fell off in the rope thing.
Right.
And, you know, it's like everything's like just trying to be like an emotional heartfelt thing, which I like moments like that, but I like moments like that that we see typically like in a family visit or back when they
you want to see something more like when the time actually calls having that moment. Like it's not I'm going to force this moment to be a thing instead of let this happen organically. And then I can insert myself in with like, oh, what a touching moment this was. This is a human moment, whatever.
Yeah. Cause Jeff used to be more of like a cutthroat asshole like Jonathan Battaglia is in Australian Survivor as a host. He just seems to be more becoming more of a softy, and maybe it's like intentional, but are you tired of these feel good heartfelt things like each and every episode, or are you cool with it?
I think for me it's very touch and go. It really just depends on what is that moment providing to the episode as a whole or the season as a whole. In terms of Jeff, I think a big part of it was just that year hiatus where they couldn't make a show. Mm-hmm. They couldn't go to Fiji. You start getting questions like, well, is it actually even going to come back? Was Winners at War the final season? Yeah. And then you get this opportunity to, you can travel again. You can have a version of Survivor again. Is it going to be shorter days? Sure. But he's going to roll with it. And I think he's just so grateful that like they're still able to do it, that he's almost like, I want to show like my love and appreciation for Survivor, and I'm going to throw that in by like throwing all of those emotions onto the players, and I'm going to make it a point to like really highlight that. I also think and I mentioned this on a couple podcasts now, I think there's a thing with Australia reality television that arcs back to like early 2000s reality TV in the US, where you could cut loose more. Like you could truly be real, be your authentic selves, even if it's controversial or not, whether you're mean-spirited or not, whether you're a good person or not, you could do all that. And I think in the U.S., we're at a point now where everything's under a microscope, where are you going to hear from a vocal minority on online if something bad happens and they like are calling to cancel the show or say like this person's all these labels, negative labels? Yeah. Sure. But I think the mass majority of people don't think that way. Right. But you can only gather it from the data that you can physically see. And the people that are okay with it aren't speaking out. The people that are against all the controversial stuff that makes reality TV great are the ones that have the loudest voices. So television is making the incorrect decision of like, oh, well, we need to PC this to like the nth degree.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can say that from my perspective, I get what the people are saying online about everything does not have to be this like kumbaya moment. Right. However, last week, I really dug Owen's backstory and him winning the challenge. I thought that was great. And I really liked Cassidy's backstory.
It fit the episodes.
Yeah. I think it's like, wow. Like, if I wasn't like a big fan of Cassidy, which I am a fan of Cassidy, but if I wasn't like, if she wasn't super high on my radar, and I'm like, wow, you know what? She acts like she's like a big fan, and she's doing it for her family, and she used to watch the show with her sister and stuff, and I can relate to that kind of stuff. And I think that's what they are trying to do, is letting the viewer relate to who they're watching on TV. That's exactly why Survivor started out casting people that were older and like out of shape and country bumpkin type people and rich doctor kind of guys. It was just, you could just identify with somebody. So I think that with the more diverse casting, that the viewers are able to kind of relate to certain people. And I mean, like, go ahead.
Oh, and I agree with you. And I also think like the timeliness of how they used it for Owen and Cassie, like that's the type of like super fan and super fan editing we want.
Yeah.
We don't need an entire season of every other confessional be like, as a super fan, I need to do this or blah, blah, blah. Or like hearkening onto their personal weight that or the baggage that they carry every single episode. Like you throw it in when it's necessary, but that doesn't dictate who they are as a person or a player. It's just like, right, this is something that's about them, but now we're going to convert that into how does that impact the game. And I think that's a big improvement they made on this season compared to 41 and 42.
Yeah, well, that's cool. So after this, I mean, this is the way this episode is, it's crazy because it is like this new quick game. This is like a lot of things happen in this episode. We go right from kind of this after tribal Owen James kind of stuff to immunity challenge, where there's going to be two winners. So they're going to break up 5 versus 5.
Yep.
And so there's going to be a red group and a blue group. There's going to be one winner from red, one winner from blue that are immune. There's going to be two tribal councils. And the person that lasts the longest out of anybody is going to win reward, which is a peanut butter and jelly do-it-yourself feast for their group. In addition, they will get to see who is voted off at the very first tribal council of tonight's episode, which is huge. And there, so that's a lot of, so I like this twist. I mean, we've seen multiple times now where the community challenge are like groups or divided up teams and stuff. So I'm cool with it. The challenge, if you want to explain kind of this challenge, real simple.
Yeah, it's very simple. You have your hand on a handle that's clamping a ball between a set of jaws. Once you unleash the handle from the rope, you must remain tension on that. And once, if your hands start to lower and relieve that tension, the ball is going to drop from the jaws. And once it completely drops from that onto the ground, you're out of the challenge. First person from, or last person from each grouping that remains wins immunity. But the best overall tribe gets the PB&Js and what is actually the reward, which is going to tribal second.
Yeah, I mean, so the two teams are broken up. The red group is Cassidy, Jesse, Ryan, Cody, and Gobbler. Shout out to Tommy Trina. The blue group is Carla, James, Sammy, Noel, and Owen.
Yep.
And it, very simple, but I tell you what, looking at this challenge, I think that once you start to like lose that grip, the way that that the tension is there, because there are certain challenges where, like, I did one in Karamoan where, like, I was having to hold this rope and hold tension on it, right? And there's a big net, and the other tribe was trying to fill up my net with these coconuts. Where I was like, so you're holding it, and you're visibly, like, looking at the net and using your strength, and then finally, you know, when it's so heavy, you just can't do that. So there's a difference between some – like that versus the way they're having to hold that bar and above their head. I feel that, yeah, once you lose concentration and the ball starts to drop, I think it's very hard to get back to a position where you can hold it.
Yeah, because you have to believe that at that point, the lower the ball goes, the higher your bar needs to be, which increases the tension. I wonder, from your background as a, you know, a former BMX guy, like, and I wonder if they would have even been allowed to do this. Would you have done the underhand grip if you also had the option of doing the overhand?
Well, I feel, because when I ride BMX bikes, I would have an overhand grip, but the underhand part, I feel like the tension is on your biceps and your forearms and your like wrists and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that I would have more strength standing like that than over the top like this. Because for one, my wrists are kind of jacked up. So I think there'd be like more pressure on them like this, maybe. But yeah, I don't know. That's a good question. I mean, could you do it technically one over and one under?
Sort of like a deadlift. You know, it's like,
so
you
do the overhand undergrip. But Jesse and Cassidy go out right away.
Yeah, Noel then goes out. The big story on the blue side is Carla competing with her busted finger. We don't know if it's like broken or just really cut up. Yeah. But either way, the hand's difficult to maneuver and work with, but she's fighting, and you can tell she's truly battling for it. Yeah. And honestly, based off how she was fighting for it, I felt deserved the win the most.
She did, and she got excited when she won, and she's like, ah, and Jeff's like, no, don't get too excited, because you're still competing to outlast the Red Tribe.
Yeah,
which she tries and tries, and I believe in this episode they said she had stitches in her hand. Is that?
They must have stitched up that finger or whatever that got sliced up in.
That's pretty gnarly.
Challenge.
That props to Carla for killing it in this challenge.
Right, like I hope, round of applause for her, because I don't know the pain that she was feeling.
Right.
Just naturally, just like moving around camp with it, let alone now doing a physical comp that's endurance, that requires your hand to be able to squeeze and tighten or relax, whatever. Like, that's a lot of pain. But honestly, it may have been beneficial, because like when you're in pain, I also think you're more focused.
Yeah.
And you see, like, ultimately it comes down to her and Sammy. And I think there's a couple things I think about with Sammy here. One could be just that he legitimately just zoned out and the ball went out. Part of me also thinks, just based off how he talks and all through these last few episodes, that he didn't want to win. Like, he was just making sure everyone else didn't win. And then when he saw that it was like him and Carla, he was like, I'll let Carla get immunity. Yeah, that's good game if Carla's immune.
Right, so he doesn't look like a big challenge beast, and
he's very interesting. I'll talk about it more when we get to the actual like scramble of it all.
Yeah. So Carla wins for blue, and then she finally drops, which means like she's safe, but she's not able to win the PB&J and the bonus of being able to see who's at the tribal. So it ends up being on the red group. Ryan versus Cody, and you see, I mean, Ryan is a beast. He's, his biceps are popping out, and then you see this footage of like Cody's, like, you know, whatever, shoulder and stuff, yeah, like twitching, and Cody ends up winning immunity.
Good for him.
Which is, it was close. I was like, man, who's gonna win? I don't know, but Cody's first, is his first immunity win?
Yep, he was a runner. He was runner up all the other times. He was always second place. This is his first win. Ryan is that archetype where you look at him and you think he would be very good at all the individual immunities, but we have learned time and time again, very rarely does that body type actually translate into immunity wins.
Yeah, because immunity, like, that's the thing. It's like, we see, when we're watching on our Patreon, we're watching Australian Survivor, and there's some like non-athletic women killing it in certain challenges versus these unbelievable athletic professional athlete beasts.
Yeah.
And so it just goes to show you, like, yeah, in Survivor, you could be a freaking badass, like Danny McRae kind of guy. And, but it always doesn't really make a difference. It's almost a detriment sometimes.
Right.
A lot of challenges, if you're a skinny female, that is, they sometimes win more challenges than the big freaking masculine dudes.
Right. You can be big. You can be strong. You could have like 2% body fat.
Yeah.
How's that going to help you when the challenge is put your arm in the air?
Yeah, I know. It's wild. So yeah, Cody is stoked. We see Cody, Jesse, Cassidy, Ryan, and Gobbler. They're first excited because they get to
eat
all
their food. Well, before we get into that, you know, yeah, I just want to talk about this. Like, you know, the challenge involved, yeah, a lot of balls dropping. Yeah. And also, when your balls drop, it's probably also time for a shave. And we have the advertisement for you.
There we go.
Support for Reality After Show is brought to you by Manscaped, who is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Their products are precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. Manscaped's Performance Package, the ultimate men's hygiene bundle. Join over 6 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with this exclusive offer for you. That's right, 20% off and free worldwide shipping with the code SURVIVOR at manscaped.com. If my math's correct, that's about 12 million balls.
The Performance Package 4.0 has arrived, and oh man, is it a game changer. Inside this package, you'll find their Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, weed whacker, ear and nose hair trimmer, crop preserver ball deodorant, crop reviver toner, performance boxer briefs, and a travel bag to hold your goodies.
First off, the Lawnmower 4.0, this trimmer is the future of grooming, and dare I say, the greatest ball trimmer ever!
Their fourth generation trimmer features a cutting-edge ceramic blade to help reduce grooming accidents thanks to their advanced skin-safe technology. The Lawnmower 4.0 is waterproof and has a 4000K LED spotlight that you need for a more precise shave.
Now, I have a dark shower curtain in my bathroom, and I've been looking for the perfect way to shave in the dark, kinda. Guess what? I found it! 4000K LED! No longer a problem. I got perfectly smooth, clean balls, thanks to the Lawnmower 4.0.
It's time to take care of yourself, so go to manscaped.com and get 20% off and free shipping with the code SURVIVOR. That's 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com, and use the code SURVIVOR. Unlock your confidence and always use the right tools for the job with Manscaped.
Thanks for sticking with us through the ad break. And don't forget, for more exclusive Reality After Show coverage, visit realitypatron.com. That's reality, PATRON.com.
We are back, and it is time for the peanut butter. Did yours lock up for a second?
Yeah, I lost you. Yeah, we're good.
Okay, that's weird. I'm hardwired in too.
Yeah, it's time for some PB&J.
Yes. So this is the thing. Food is a, you know, something that makes everyone happy. So this is at first, like, everyone is excited, eating their food, and it's all good and well until it's time to really talk some strategy. Because at the end of the day, there's going to be someone voted out of this tribe and someone voted out of the other group. So Ryan and Gobbler want Cassidy, and they tell Cody about this as well, about voting Cassidy. And Cody, do you think Cody's a very strategic, smart player or no?
So I know our running gag is that Johnny hates him.
Yes.
But he's like, he's someone that would be cast instantly if he had a decision to make about it. Cody is someone who keeps like raising up for me. Like, he looks like a goofball. He is a goofball, but behind being a goofball, there is brains behind it. Like, he, you can tell that him and Jesse as a pair are a very fierce tandem. Mm-hmm. That could, like, there isn't a world where he wins immunity and the rest of the group doesn't look at Jesse. Yeah. Like, they've been inseparable this entire game. We should take them out. But they both have done such a good job socially and strategically to place themselves in a position where no one wants them out. Mm-hmm. That it's like, you have to give them kudos there. They found themselves in a 5-person dynamic where usually there's one person that can be the linchpin. They became the kingmakers and completely cut the legs out of a person able to play the middle.
Right. Well, I'm all for Cody, and I love Jesse.
Yeah.
We see, like I said, some people want Cassidy, and then the other side of it is Ryan. So Jesse and Cassidy talking to Cody about voting Ryan. There's, you got Ryan who could like go on an immunity run and win a bunch of challenges. And this is where we see what we talked about earlier with Cassidy's confessional of why she is out here, that her sister died. She's got her sister's ashes in a necklace. They used to watch Survivor. She's a huge fan. It's a dream come true. She's not going to go down without a fight. So I'm thinking to myself, oh boy, this is her exit episode based off this. Right. I really did. But I dig this. I like the fact that there's this battle of when, you know, Cody and Jesse, they keep talking throughout, you know, from here on out this episode about there's pros and cons to each person. Like, they're looking at it from a, if we vote this person off, hey, Ryan's kind of dumb and we can just take him to the end easily. And then if we vote, you know, this other person out, that could really piss off these people in the alliance and that could be bad for us. So I like that they're at least thinking about all sides instead of just like, let's just do this one thing.
Right. And it shows where we're at in Survivor now. We're in a lot of former seasons, people didn't think at that level. They were thinking, this is one step. What's the best move at this one step? Doesn't matter what happens after. What's good right now? Mm-hmm. And you have Jesse and Cody are like constantly thinking ahead. And they're like, what are the ramifications if we do this move? What's the ramifications if we do this move? What do we gain if this person goes versus this person going? Mm-hmm. And we see ultimately they make the right decision here where they're like, let's see how the first tribal goes. We're going to bring in Gabler. Gabler will be our third. Gabler's a free agent. He's going to say yes if we offer him a chance to work with us in this vote. It guarantees him safety. It guarantees him a veil of power. Mm-hmm. And Gabler or Gobbler does take that. And they're just like, hey, if James goes, we can consider more taking out Cassidy. Because then we completely cut Carla from her knees. Now she's forced to be with us or she can go.
Yeah.
And if just someone like Owen goes, okay, we can take out Ryan. It's whatever. Mm-hmm. We'll keep rolling the course with that big group.
Yeah.
Because we feel comfortable in our positioning in it.
Yeah. So after the feel good kind of from home photos and stuff from Cassidy, we go and we have Carla, Owen, James, Noelle, and Sammy. Carla wants Owen out. when Carla and Sammy are talking about it, it's just like, again, there's two options here. You got some people talking about, the James and Owen, we're seeing this banter back and forth, this argument going on that starts at the water well. Owen is not backing down about his frustration with James. And honestly, I think although they're arguing, they're not getting like over the top, like pissed fighting. Cause it is getting pretty escalated. And I like this. When I was playing Survivor Karamoan, there's a lot of fights and escalation between myself and Shamar. And it just got over the top. Like, Shamar getting so pissed off. So I think that like they realize, and they even say this at Tribal, they respect each other as humans, but in the game, it's just, they're just kind of butting heads. Yeah. And I think, that's, they're playing a game, and that's why I like it. They're making their own decisions. They have their own eyes set on certain ways. So,
how about how great Noelle is this season? She maximizes the screen time that she gets. Sure. They're arguing and they come running into camp, still arguing. And she's just like, want a papaya?
I know.
Everyone stops for a moment, looks over at her, and then they continue fighting.
I know. It's great. And honestly, if I'm Noelle or anybody else, I would be like, look at this. Like,
right. I think they are. And I think a lot of people are going to be giving Sammy credit for tonight's move. Mm-hmm. I don't.
Yeah.
I think he's a contributing factor. But I want to give Noelle like more than 80% of the credit of what happens with this group today. I think she has been playing a good game where like just a couple of rounds ago, everyone was trying to paint her as this like, oh, she's dictating the vote, whatever. Like, we're going to vote Noelle out potentially. Yeah. Ends up voting out Dwight.
Right.
She, I think, has this like disarming ability where people just feel good with her, feel comfortable around her. She makes them laugh. She's like cracking jokes. She's disarming. Mm-hmm. And that's when like it was so cool in the edit where everyone's like, oh my God, this is going to be the clean vote. It's going to be like 5-minute tribal. Owen goes 4-1 until suddenly Noelle just goes into confession like, so the plan is, I'm going to steal Owen's vote so that he can't use the shot in the dark. I am doing that. Mm-hmm. But to vote out James, and that shoe drops and everyone in the audience is going wild. They're like, oh, we're going to get a blind side. We're going to get a big move. And she goes and pulls in Owen, pulls in Sammy. And they're just like, hey, Carla can be on board if she wants. This is happening. Mm-hmm. Like, one way or the other, this is going down tonight. James is going.
I love it because we see these clips of like Owen like walking out of camp and just kind of sitting on the beach like, dude, like I'm on the bottom. This sucks. And then bam, Noelle comes in with this freaking plan. And I love this is a time where I'm like the advantages and twists I enjoy because it's like, this changes the whole dynamic. I went from like, holy crap. Like, is this going to go down? Is Owen really going to? Last week, Owen has to win immunity to stay. And now this week, he's totally on the chopping block.
And it's the levels. Because once again, this is why I think the knowledge is power is a good advantage in the game. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a bad advantage.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. It's a bad advantage. Mm-hmm. But I like it because it truly shows and gives opportunity for good players to become great players.
Yeah.
Because right. Noelle's like, not only am I going to use this, I need to ensure without a shadow of a doubt, James has so much trust in me mm-hmm. that he doesn't think twice about it and tries to use his knowledge and power to steal a vote.
Right.
Because if that happens, game done.
Yeah.
The only wild card that no one knows about is Carla's idol.
Mm-hmm.
At least from the viewer side of things, no one else knows.
Mm-hmm.
So there's always that back of your mind. You're like, will Carla not be selfish and use her idol on someone that she's saying is a valuable piece in her game?
Right.
And we'll get to it at Tribal and why I think Carla ultimately makes the right decision here. and doesn't use it, allows James to go, because there's long-term benefits to losing a solid piece in your game. Yeah. And we can get there when we talk about James going. But I just really love this moment. I got super nervous though when he goes and turns to Sammy. Sammy's like, Owen and Noel think I'm with them, but really I'm with Carla. And I'm just like, oh no, what are you going to do? And he spills everything, which again, kudos to Carla, because everyone's like, oh, we'll target the people around Carla, but we want Carla in the game because we feel good with Carla. Mm-hmm. Everyone's fighting to be Carla's number one.
Yeah.
Like literally that's all this is. It's a rat race to see who can be Carla's second and third place finisher. Mm-hmm. And great for her. But I got so nervous that she was going to shut it down or like, once again, twist Sammy's arm and Sammy like puts his tail between his legs. Like, oh, I have the people to make the move again, but I'm going to claim I couldn't. Yeah. And I'm going to just vote with them and we'll vote out Owen, and it is what it is.
Props to Sammy for like he's really playing the game for himself. I think he could possibly though get in big trouble because
he's in that middle position. Like
I know
he's in that spot that I feel so many of the players that are his age that enter this game get into.
Yeah,
they're in this spot where the higher powers aren't threatened by him and they'll let him tag along with them because he's going to feed them info. Whether it's true or not, they don't know, but they assume it could be true. Mm-hmm. At the same time, he's going to the bottom of the people on the bottom and like giving them hope that, oh, a rebellion can happen. Right. I will help lead the charge. But like we kept seeing time and time again, he would keep staying with the majority, not making the move. He does. I give him credit for sticking to it. They get a foolproof plan to get James out, unknowing that Carla could have stopped it all with her idol.
Yes.
But ultimately, Carla makes the right call because that idol should be used for one person and one person only, and that's yourself.
Yeah, I totally get it. I mean, and the other thing is, Sammy, is when he's talking to Carla, telling her what's going on and stuff, he tells her, like, look, like, there's another benefit. Like if Noelle plays her steal a vote right now, at least her steal a vote will be flushed out of the game. Like we know that that's not in play anymore. So for a young player, I think Sammy is also like thinking just outside of
right.
just the immediate present and is looking like toward the future.
He for sure is. I think he just is a little too brash. And I think he's also, because he's 19, he thinks he's playing circles around people. But I feel like there's certain things that they are showing us that make it like, oh, they know exactly what his agenda is. Like, he makes it very obvious to Carla in those conversations that I want to be your James.
Yeah.
Let's get James out so then I can be your James.
Mm-hmm.
And Carla's like, fine, sure. And then you see in the preview, Sammy's got to go.
Oh, yeah.
Sammy.
I know. I think his time is ticking. So, yeah, a lot of awesome stuff. You know, there's multiple choices on both the tribals we're going to see. So we go to tribal, and the first tribal is Owen, James, Sammy, Carla, and Noel.
Yep.
And, again, just like the episode began, we see, you know, Owen talking about his frustration. We have James kind of giving his part of it. And then Jeff is like, so there was arguing going on? It's like, duh, like this is Survivor.
Well, dude, I did appreciate it because I felt like he kept trying to stoke it to try to get them to actually have the argument at Tribal again.
And you just
see him like smirking when they would keep coming back. And he's like, I did that again. And then you cut to Noelle, and Noelle's like, too much testosterone. Let's just get to the vote. She's just here, sitting here, just like, can we just get to the vote so I can use my advantage, declare my advantage, so then no one can take it from me. Let me use this, please, Jeff.
Oh, yeah. I mean, she is chomping at the bit. I mean, so we see this back and forth banter of Owen and James. And then, Noelle's like, the testosterone thing. And then she says, it's time to vote. Like, she takes
it from him.
She takes it from Probst. And, you know, she's really, like I said, wanting to play this steal a vote. So Noelle plays her steal a vote to steal Owen's vote. And then it is brought up in kind of a little throwback to episode 4 when Owen and James say that they were on the same journey when this whole thing happened. Those two chose the other thing. So, she, you know, she could get that, you know, whatever, like get the steal a vote. So yeah, at this point, James is still completely, has no clue that it could be him. It's like, this is Owen all the way. She just stole his vote.
He can't play his Shot in the Dark now, which it's funny that now they're starting to mention Shot in the Dark, because I think this cast has no intention of ever using it.
Yeah.
Like the 41 and 42, we saw a good handful of people attempt it that knew that they were going out or feared that they could, so they used it. This cast, I think, saw it. They saw the reaction to it. They had their own opinions on it. And they're like, I'm not playing it. Like,
yeah, I don't.
If I'm going. Like,
right.
You don't, my vote's more important. Blah 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 blah. But I like that it's still like being incorporated in strategy. I think that's more important of what the Shot in the Dark can provide to the game rather than
actually playing it.
Yeah, because we talked about the honesty, and it comes back to that. People are playing an honest game until it comes to that vote.
Yeah.
Because everyone knows, oh, we need to blindside people because there's that chance. There's that chance someone won't think like us and they'll be like, oh, I'm going home. Might as well play it. And if I do play it, what happens to everyone else?
Yeah. Well, James, you know, when he sees his name come up and he's blindsided, he was completely bummed, pissed, devastated. But he's given props to him, like, well, I guess that means I was a threat if you voted me out. I take that as a compliment or whatever. But he is not happy. I mean, obviously, I would not be happy either.
No, and you shouldn't be.
Totally pissed. So yeah, he's fucking pissed. He goes immediately over to the jury with, so he's sitting there next to Janine now. And then those, the rest of the people, they exit tribal, and then Jeff brings in the second group of people, which this is another great one, because when Jesse and Cody come in, they're like,
their eyes are shooting out of their heads.
They are. They're like, holy
like they
shit.
Talked about James potentially going, but I don't think in their minds they ever thought that was realistic.
No,
like, oh, a lot of their... the easy choice is going to be made. Owen's going to go, maybe Noelle, and we'll keep moving.
Right. Because, and it's that scenario of like who they vote out could piss James off or whatever. It's now going through their head like, oh my God, like we kind of can do plan B or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, because now they know. It's a huge advantage seeing who got voted out before.
Absolutely. And it's only a huge advantage if you go into that tribal with your plan set. Like, if this happens, we can do this. Or if this happens, we can feel it out and we can make the decision on the call. Like, we could do like one of those like, oh, I'll tap you on the shoulder if we're changing the plan up from this name type of thing, you know, like the little things that you can do at tribal without having to like stand up and move around.
Yeah, right. And whisper and all that kind of shit. Jesse is shocked about this. I mean, Ryan is surprised. Cassidy, she talks about the reward part of the day where the food was glorious. But look, even when you're eating, the game never stops. This is a relentless game. It's a fast-paced game. You can never really stop strategizing or thinking game, and it's exhausting. And she starts talking about bringing up the monster.
How is Cassie this under-edited? She's talking the monster.
I know.
Jeff loves the monster.
I know. I don't even know what the monster is. And she's bringing up the monster stuff again, like that we saw, you know, in 41 and 42. And it's funny. Cody, you know, he is the man of the hour. He feels like I'm in a big spot because he's like, look, everyone wants to talk to me. Like, it's cool winning, but it's like a big responsibility because I have a lot of power here. And it is. So he, He is in a good spot. I mean, I would like to have the immunity necklace every time. I don't care how big of a responsibility it would be. And him and Jesse are kind of really dominating here. I think, I don't, do you have any more, like, what's your opinion on, I'm just kind of skipping around at Tribal, but do you have anything else to chime in about this?
My main points are more so just like, were the right decisions made for mm-hmm. like, for both tribes? So like we can sort of skip to that point. Like, we get to the vote.
Yep.
Ryan thinks it's going to be all on Cassie. Cassie thinks it's all going to be on Ryan. Ryan's been trying to get Cassie out since day one.
Yep.
Cassie's like, this is my final act. This is the dagger in the heart. You're done. Your game's done. You go fish at Ponderosa.
Yeah.
And we ultimately see Cassie gets her way.
Yes.
And Ryan goes, which I think for a lot of viewers was a little surprising ultimately, just because of the James of it all. You mm-hmm. were thinking, oh, then Jesse and Cody are going to make their move and continue that bloodbath. They bring in Ryan as a number for them. They have Ryan and Gabler as like their two like little knuckleheads that they can lead as numbers at Final Eight.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to the first vote out of James, I think some people are questioning, like, why did Carla do it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we have already seen at the beginning of the season, Carla's really ready and willing to vote out her allies if she mm-hmm. thinks they're no longer a benefit to her. And I think she was seeing a picture, and I think Sammy did help her, like, expand her thought process into the benefits.
Yeah.
So when all the talk is the Coco 4, the Coco, but mainly the Coco 3 of James, Cassie, and herself.
Yeah.
I think mainly people are looking at Carla and James, and you're seeing a pair.
Mm-hmm.
And at this point in the game, a pair is very dangerous. A pair is something that will get you targeted. It's what we saw in 41 with Shannon and Ricard, where Shannon and Ricard openly said to each other, we will have to betray each other at some point because it's just going to happen.
Yeah.
By Carla eliminating James, it lowers her threat level at mm-hmm. a time where she should want her threat level lowered mm-hmm. because now we're going into this next episode. She can throw the blame on Sammy if anyone questions her. Like, Sammy made this plan with Owen and Noelle. I find out last minute. My hands are tied because no one else knows about the idol.
Yeah.
She can very much play into that and be like, I had no choice but to go with this plan or I'm on the outs.
Right.
Then it also could help raise a duo, because maybe now people start looking at Cody and Jesse as a duo. Mm-hmm. Those are more targets now that are going to be looked at that aren't her. That can buy her a round or two. And sometimes in the game Survivor, as you very well know, a round or two is maybe all you need in order to get what you want.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, I think it's brilliant. I like that there was two tribals and two vote outs. I did like James. I'm kind of bummed, but I'm cool that Owen stayed. And I'm glad that Ryan is out. I mean, even when Ryan's exit interview, he's like, it's really not that big of a deal that I got voted out. I got to go fishing. And
I
got to
go fish.
I'm just like, what kind of, he would like, see ya.
Bye, Ryan.
Like, you do nothing for me. There's a lot of people that probably would like, you know, way rather be out there and have that experience than Ryan. So,
yeah.
I'm glad he's out. And then even scenes from next week, I think it's going to be good. I think, I don't know. Some people are going to emerge. I think Sammy could be in a little bit of trouble because of just how things went down the night and that he's kind of not real trustworthy. If I'm Carla, I'd be a little worried, like, wow, this guy's kind of a loose cannon. I think Cody and Jesse are still in a great spot, although people are going to start saying, man, like, these guys are really powerful. Well, we're going to have to, like, break one of them up. But there's still a lot of idols in play. I mean, we know Jesse's got two. Yep. Carla's got one. The steal a vote from Noelle is gone now.
The knowledge is power is gone now. I think at this point, the only thing out there are those three idols.
Okay. So, yeah, it's going to be great. Fun episode. Like I said, I was blindsided. Like, seeing James, seeing him, I was like, whoa. So, cool. I'm, I've, I'm crossing, like the past two episodes, I've been pretty stoked. There's been a couple I've been like, I don't know about this. But I'm excited to see what's going on in the Thanksgiving break. And next week, definitely, if you're in the New York, New Jersey area, hit up the SurvivorHomecoming.com for tickets to that Johnny explained. And also, Johnny will most likely be doing a podcast once he watches tonight's episode 9. Yep. Keep looking for that. And look for all of our other challenge coverage, etc. I know, Alex, you're probably going right now to watch the challenge.
Oh, I am.
And podcasting about that. So with that, everyone, we love you all. Thank you for the support. And we will see you all next week. Cheers.
And for more bonus content, go to realitypatron.com. That's right. Become a patron now. Get additional coverage of all your favorite shows, the weekly Q&A, and you become a member of the secret, exclusive Facebook group. That's realitypatron.com.